Tech Talk with Lee Stark.
Good morning, Lee. How are you?
I'm okay, mate. Yourself?
Not too bad, mate. Thank you very much. I've got a question here for you from Emily. Emily says, I need to buy new earbuds for my phone. I have an iPhone. Do I need to get Apple ones, or can I get any brand that has Bluetooth? That's from Emily.
You can get any brand that's got Bluetooth. Bluetooth is a standard. Apple ones tend to work best with iPhones. In fact, they typically don't work with Android. So there's only one brand that's managed to make them work with Android, and that's the Nothing phone. But Apple ones tend to work best with them largely because they tend to fit in the Apple ecosystem. If you listen to Apple Music, you'll get the most benefits from a pair of Apple AirPods. You'll get spatial audio and head tracking and things like that. But if you don't, any pair is fine. Bluetooth is a standard. You can spend as little as $50 and as much as $1,300, to be completely honest. It really depends on what you're after. If you're after a style of that's just for walking around, you can pick up anything from between $60 and $200. If you want noise cancellation, you can spend close to between $250 and $450. So it's really dependent on what you want. But Bluetooth is a standard, so you're really just buying the style that you like.
I bought a pair of... I've got an iPhone, and I bought a pair of Boss headphones. Bose headphones. And look, they work, but they don't work all the time. Every time someone rings me and I answer the phone, I've got to actually physically click it through to the Bose headphones, whereas you don't have to do that with the Apple headphones, or the earbuds, as they call them. So it seems as though it will work. A non-Apple product will work with an iPhone, but it doesn't work all the time.
It depends. Some new models are better than others. A lot of it has to do with how they actually incorporate Bluetooth drivers with the device. Apple iPhones typically do, yeah, you're not wrong. They do tend to work better with AirPod devices or Apple ones, but not necessarily. As a good example, Beats is owned by Apple, so if you're looking for an inexpensive variant of what is basically an Apple product, you can look at Beats products as well. Beats makes versions of earbuds that are between $120 to about $299. They also make a version of the AirPods Pro, two different versions of them, the Studio Buds and the Fit Pro, which are very similar to first-gen AirPods, but they're a lot less expensive. So there are options like that. Some Sony and Bose will do exactly what you're talking about. It is getting a lot better. I've been testing a lot of earphones this year, so many that my desk is basically breeding them, and most of them seem to respond better to iPhone than they have in recent years. Apple is getting better at incorporating all the other brands and all the other Bluetooth stacks out there, but you are right for the most part. Some of the models won't play as nicely with others.
If someone was to ask you for one particular brand of over-ear headphones, noise reduction headphones that go with, be it an Android or an iPhone, is there one particular brand that you have tested, the noise reduction over-ear headphones, not the buds, the over-ear headphones? Is there one particular model that stands out from the crowd?
Yeah, absolutely. The most current Bose ones, they were released last year, and they are still pretty much the top end. They're called the Bose Quiet Comfort Ultra. They do them in earbuds as well, but the over-ear ones are particularly good. They are very good in terms of what they do. The Sonos ones are quite good as well, but very expensive for what they are. I think the Bose ones give you the best of everything, and they also have cleverly included things like the spatial tracking, which kind of makes music sound more dynamic. You can turn it on and off, it's your choice, but I find that the Bose ones currently are the best. You can't often go wrong once you're over the $400 or $500 mark. Sony does great pairs, and if you're looking for something inexpensive, there's a relatively decent challenger brand called Soundcore, and they do inexpensive models for about the $300 mark with surprisingly solid battery life. You can get about 50 hours out of them.
Is there another brand that's best for noise cancellation?
That's all of those. They are all pretty much geared at noise cancellation. Anytime you look at headphones that cost over $300, they all include noise cancellation these days. It's largely been democratized.
Have you read any articles about the negative side of noise cancellation headphones and the detrimental effects it can have on your hearing?
Are you talking about how the vacuum works with
yes.
the your ears?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's been a known issue. Part of the problem is the way noise cancellation works. It's not cancelling the entire world. It picks up on frequencies and basically recreates that frequency from an inverse point. So it doesn't cancel things out, and depending on how you listen to it, it can make your ears feel a little weird long term. It can actually increase, from what I understand, wax buildup as well. The guide I have is that take your headphones off every so often and just listen to the outside world. They were built for planes. You can use them for a lot of other things, obviously. Bose built this technology in the 90s for aircraft, so that's largely what it's for. But a lot of people wear them out and about. I'm no different. I wear them out and about as well. But take the time to take them off and listen to the outside world. Get your ears adjusted, because we're not supposed to listen to noise-free environments perpetually.
Okay. They look like regular Ray-Bans, but Meta's new smart glasses are anything but, apparently. And it's sparking fears of a surge in stalking, child abuse, bullying and domestic violence. This is a story that's in the paper today, mate. These hidden cameras and microphones have transformed the eyewear into surveillance tools, and you can buy these things for less than $500. They're getting a bad rap, these glasses, are they not?
They are, and it's really frustrating as a reviewer, because we keep asking Meta for them so we can try them out, but they won't send them. The Meta smart glasses are an interesting concept. I can see why there's a lot of frustration and concern about them, because largely they're AI and phone-connected cameras. They don't typically switch on unless you tell them to be honest. There is an AI assistant built into it, and you have to voice and pretty much control it that way. You can control it via an app or some buttons that are actually built into the device. But a lot of people don't have them. They're not widely successful, so you're not being tracked by a lot of people, or even tracked by anyone. But the reality is these things are coming. They'll be in more devices. There'll be more cameras in everything. And it's not entirely out of whack. I mean, your microphones on your phone can switch on, often do typically without you being aware of it. That's a lot of how advertising cookie technology works as well.
Arnold says, could you ask Lee what's the most often asked tech question he gets?
How do I fix my iPhone? And there's a gamut of answers to it. It's a question of what actually went wrong with it. Most people drop their iPhone or run it under the tap the wrong way and then try to charge it immediately after. The most common one is people breaking their devices without really thinking of how they got there in the first place. So to protect your iPhone from drops, don't drop in the first place, but obviously put a case around it. And weirdly enough, if it does fall, make sure it lands on its front or its back. If it lands on its corners or its sides, they're the areas more likely to break, but put some protection over it. I will say this year's iPhones are a lot better than previous ones. They're certainly a lot more durable. I haven't managed to scratch the screen yet at all, despite putting it through a barrage of tests. Same sort of thing happens with Android. Put protection on it. If you have a phone from when you first buy it, you can actually make it last as much as 3-4 years, provided you protect it. And if you're looking for a way to speed it up, and that's the other thing people complain about, you can actually, much like you can with computers, back up everything, remember the apps you actually need, and then reset the phone to scratch, the way you first bought it. That will actually bring it back to the way you first bought it initially, which means it's fast. Now, very much like a computer, that means you can put your stuff back onto it, and it will be as fast as you started with.
And a warning, if you do have your phone in a cover, and you do drop it, and you are in bare feet, I would not suggest that you try to use your bare feet to cushion the blow, because it bloody hurts.
It does, yes, it's true. I mean, some phones are heavier than others. So the heaviest phone we get is around 290 grams, and they tend to be the very large foldable variety of devices. So the more tech, the more hardware you put into them, the heavier they are. But we're seeing lighter-grade materials. Titanium is a handy material, but you're not wrong. They're heavy. Like all pieces of technology, I wouldn't want to drop my large MacBook Pro on my feet either. It would break the computer. There's very little I can do to repair that. Try not to drop things on your feet. Try to hold them very carefully so you don't end up seeing them go to either a flat or a watery grave.
Chromecast makes an old television, a smart television, but Google's replacement for Chromecast, it's out, it's here, you can go and buy it. Is it worth it?
Probably not. If you can find the old one, absolutely, that's the one to buy. So Google replaced this thing a couple months ago. They replaced the classic Chromecast, and the classic Chromecast was actually a $99 gadget that had a Google operating system in it. It had evolved in the past decade, and it was a lot better than it used to be. It used to be just a device you would send wireless stuff to your TV. It would automatically upgrade your TV to a smart TV. The new model is kind of like what would happen if they had painted an Apple TV white and gotten someone to sit on it and flatten it. That's what it looks like. It's much the same. It's a little bit faster, but you'd never tell the difference. It's basically a Google TV sold for $60 more with a little bit more storage. I'm not convinced it's actually worth the cost. I'm actually kind of confused why Google has largely shot themselves in the foot. The previous Chromecast, the $99 one, was such a great option for people who wanted to upgrade their old TVs or maybe their parents' TVs to a smart one to give them some internet connectivity for an inexpensive price. This is $160, which is more expensive for not a lot of reason. AI, but there's not a lot of AI functionality in it. Amazon still has a $99 Fire TV stick, so it feels like Google is just kind of letting Amazon take the real value. And there's also the Hubble, but I wouldn't suggest that one if anyone even told me to look at it. I've reviewed that, and it's probably not worth it. If you were looking at upgrading your TVs, look at Amazon's Fire TV stick, and then possibly look at either a Chromecast or also Google TV Streamer or the Apple TV. The Apple TV is incredibly functional, but expensive by comparison. The Chromecast just isn't necessarily worth the $60 more it costs.
We were talking earphones, earbuds, over-ear phones. There are earphones, and they often block the outside world. We've talked about that already this morning. But a new pair aims to let you always hear through them thanks to a donut-like shape. These are Sony, aren't they?
To Sony, yeah. So the idea of this is so that people who don't necessarily want to cancel the world but want to keep their ears open and also not deal with the overbuilding up of earwax, maybe you want to listen to this great station while still doing your work and hearing other people around you, these earbuds are basically built for that. It's Sony's third attempt at the concept. They never really got a lot of attention for the first one. It was for years ago, the Sony Xperia Ear Duo. This is a part of a line they call the Link Buds, and basically the ear driver looks like a ring. We call it donut shape because of the hole in it. You can actually see and almost put a toothpick through if you had to. Obviously don't put that in your ears. But basically the Link Buds Open are an unusual style of earbuds designed to let you hear both the outside world and your music or whatever you're listening to at the time. They're unusual because they're largely built at people who want to still do their work, still walk out and about, but still hear everything that's happening around them. They're unusual in that way because no one really makes a device like that. Most earbuds these days, even the noise-canceling ones, include what's called a transparency mode or a hear-through mode, which means that the mics switch on, they disable noise cancellation, they switch on for allowing you to hear through them. So while Link Buds are unique in that they have this feature, a lot of earbuds and earphones will do this anyway. You just have to kind of turn it on and allow the feature to work. So we're kind of not sure if they're going to be worth the $300 that they cost. They're definitely an interesting approach, but if you have any pair of recent earphones or noise-canceling headphones, they will do kind of the same thing.
Tesla, they're getting us ready for robots and robo-taxis. So, I honestly see the time when, further down the track, we have taxis, but no one drives them. They're automated.
And this is actually what that is. The concept of what Musk unveiled is a robo-taxi. It's not far off of science fiction when you think about it. It's basically a car with no steering wheel, so you sit in the cabin and it will drive you along. It's a long way off for Australia. We don't actually have self-driving regulation in this country, and the expectation is we probably won't until somewhere between 2028 and 2030. So the concept of a self-driving cyber cab, long way off in Australia. We don't even have that for regular cars, and many of them can do it technically in Australia, the ones that are released here. But it is coming. I'm unsure where I stand on this because AI isn't typically super reliable in cars just yet, even overseas where they're actually testing this functionality. And to not have a steering wheel to be able to intervene if something happens, I'm genuinely concerned as to how that functionality works. But it's interesting to see the technology ahead of time. I'm not a huge fan of Musk in general, but I like seeing what could happen in the future. And this is very sci-fi. It is an interesting eventuality that we could see locally probably in a decade or so.
Two of Australia's largest telcos are going to switch off 3G services within a week. Just one more reminder, it's going to happen in a week. And they're saying there's something like 59,000 devices in this country that's going to be that are going to need to be updated over the next week. 59,000.
It's down from the 150,000 that we expected it would be about 3 months ago. So enormous strides have been made. But yes, if you're not sure what's happening, or if you've got a relative that anyone that you know that isn't sure that they're on the right network, get them to text the number 3 to 3498. And if they're on Telstra and Optus, it will send them back a message to find out whether they're compatible or not. Of the 59,000, many of the devices are actually kind of grey imported. You might have bought a recent device, but you might have bought it from an overseas location that wasn't in Australia. The reason why that's important is not all of those devices were configured to work on the emergency networks the way they should, which means that they might try to default to 3G when they should be using the 4G networks, simply because that's how they were set up overseas. We use slightly different setups here. It also could be things like medical devices. Weird as it is, if you know someone who uses medical alert devices, many of those are set to 3G, so check if you've got a relative that's relying on those. And if you happen to have a rural plot of land, check your Wi-Fi or your 3G cameras or Wi-Fi cameras. Check to see if they have a SIM card slot. If they do, there's a good chance it relies on 3G. 4G cameras are still relatively recent. They only started popping up a few years ago. So if you have a rural plot of land and a camera aimed at it that doesn't have Wi-Fi around it, make sure you check the SIM card in that. You might need to upgrade the camera.
Okay. Thank you, mate, for sharing some of your Sunday morning with us. We appreciate it. We look forward to catching up with you same time, same channel next Sunday.
Happy to help. See you then.
See you, mate. Bye-bye. That's Lee Stark, our tech guy. If you have a question for Lee, you can send it to us via email. If you'd like to visit his website, you can do so. P-I-C-K-R. Picker. That's it. All one word. PICKR.com.au.